All right, the Mr. Disclaimer guy started the radio show, and I just want to say, Jeff Hastings, we can now say whatever crazy things we want to.
That's right. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, it'd be a good idea to plant poison ivy.
Yeah. But, you know, I've always wondered about the value of kudzu. You got any kudzu in the store that I could take a snip off?
No, but I can probably find some for you.
We
but
can that, find some?
That kind of hits kind of close to home, so...
Does it really? Have you got a kudzu problem?
No, my great-grandfather was on the team that started to import kudzu under the Eisenhower administration.
Wow.
As cattle food. It was a potential cow food, and it was something that went terribly wrong, obviously. So that dark secret of mine.
See, I thought it was for elimination of erosion.
Well, it does a great job for that. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, sure.
But
no,
initially it was brought over as a forage content.
Really?
So.
And did the cows like it?
The cows will eat it.
Oh.
The problem is the cows will eat everything else before they eat it. It's the last thing they like to eat.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize you have a connection there.
Yeah, so.
Well, honestly, you've been around enough years that you've got a connection to everything.
Well, it's not. I've tried to get involved because owning a hardware store. My philosophy is, when you own a hardware store, you're in the retail business, yes, but you're also there as a social service. And you know, I try hard to get ingrained in the community. Both, you know, I live in Apex. Right. I'm heavily involved with Apex, but then Raleigh, in Western Raleigh, involved with numerous organizations that take a lot of time that if I worked for somebody else, I couldn't do it. But working for myself and having a great staff, it affords me the time to be able to do that sort of stuff.
When you step out of the store, you're not concerned that things are going left field on them?
No, otherwise I couldn't be on the radio today.
Yeah.
You know, we have a great group of employees that take care of it, and God bless the fact that we've got cell phones nowadays.
Yes.
Because it's interesting, on my business card that's sitting up by the front cash register, my business card has my cell phone on it.
Yes.
And everybody that looks at it, well, not everybody, people look at it and they're like, you put your cell phone on there? And I probably get about 8 or 10 phone calls a year on that.
Yeah.
But every single phone call that happens is what the caller believes is an emergency.
What's a hardware emergency?
Well, it's Thanksgiving and the plumbing is backing up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they need something rectified that they think is critical to their life right then and there. And, you know, I have no problem driving up from the house and meeting somebody at the store to help them out, to get something done.
Yeah.
Because my belief is it's only in those times of emergency that we get a chance to shine and we get a chance to show the public what we want to do and what we're willing to do help them out.
You have never thought of starting the Burke Brothers Hardware Emergency van, you know, service.
No, because we've been through this a couple of times at the store. The problem becomes when I go to somebody's house, anytime I leave 5227 Hillsborough Street, the insurance ramifications are huge.
Really?
And so at that point in time, it I can deliver something, and I've done it. You know, off hours, I've taken people things, you know, at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night because they need it right then and there.
Right.
But we can't go out to the house and we can't fix a light switch.
Right.
And we can't be the plumber. We can't be the HVAC, you know, guy. But at the same time, usually I can, on the phone, I can walk them through what's going on. Yeah, like yesterday.
Yes.
Young lady comes in the store and they're going on a cross-country trip today or tomorrow. And the auxiliary power for their Ford F-250, so the F-250 in the back of the back of the bed has a little plug-in.
Yeah.
Well, the plug-in wasn't working, and so they needed a replacement fuse for that. Yes. And I said, okay. I said, I don't know what fuse you need, but we have this thing called a computer. Let me look it up right quick. So we quickly we quickly figured out that there was a 20-amp fuse that goes on there.
Yes.
So I said, let me sell you a 20-amp, let me sell you a 25-amp, and let me sell you a 15-amp and a 10-amp.
Yeah.
And she said, do I need all of these? I said, no, but you need one of these. And she said, what do I do with the others? I said, take a little Ziploc bag, put them in there, and throw it in the glove box.
Yeah.
I said, because I looked, you know, looking online, you were able to see all the fuses that are there. I said, all of these fuses are in your fuse box.
Yes.
I said, if you're going across country and you're in the middle of South Dakota,
yep,
and something goes wrong, you probably then have a fuse to help fix it if it's electrical.
Right.
And she said, well, that's a great idea.
And you weren't really upselling.
No.
Right? Because, frankly, the fuses weren't that expensive.
Right, yeah. I mean, well, she said, how much are the fuses? And I said, they're $1.65 a piece.
Yeah.
And I even went over to where our fuse are, and that was individuals.
Yeah.
I went over to where the bulk section was to see if we had an assortment, which would save her even more money.
Sure.
And we didn't. I tell people all the time, I am a horrible salesperson because I have no pressure. People come in and they talk about buying Wilmington grills.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, I am not here to sell you a Wilmington grill. And they're like, well, what are you trying to do? And I said, all I'm trying to do is make you have a wonderful dinner.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want you to get home and 2 days from now, 3 days from now, think that this guy was an overambitious salesperson and just trying to get the money.
Right.
I said, I want you to be back 3 years, 5 years, 10 years from now buying stuff. And, you know, a great example of that was a gentleman in Florida. He had lived here, moved down to Florida, mm-hmm. and wanted a Wilmington grill. And I said, well, okay. I said, we can get one to you. And he said, okay, what are we dealing with? And I told him the cost of the grill. And I said, you have two shipping costs. And he said, okay. I said, I think it was around $200 to ship it on the truck. I said, you can pay $200 to ship it on the truck.
Yeah.
Or you can pay me $500 and I'll install it. And he said, you'll come to Florida and install it for $500? I said, well, it gives me a great excuse to go to the coast. Well, he took the option of $200. But
yes,
because of that whole conversation, he called back a week and a half ago,
yes,
and said, you were so easy to deal with that they bought, his neighbor wanted one, so his neighbor bought one, and I gave him the same option. I said, you got two shipping costs. Unfortunately, he took the cheaper of the two. So I can't get to Florida one way or another.
See, you should have said, of course he was in Florida. If you get a phone call from the Caribbean, You need to lower that shipping cost. You need to,
Right, right.
Make it like 400.
Well, we actually delivered two grills to Italy.
Yes.
Yeah, we took a member of the armed services, which Memorial Day weekend, thank you all that serve in our military. We deeply appreciate it.
Yes.
But Italy, a gentleman over there, he and his another, person in the military, they both wanted Wilmington grills. And I said, okay. I said, I don't have a plane that'll get there. So you tell me if you can help me with the shipping.
Yeah.
And so what the military does is, I believe it's in Kansas, that's where the collective warehouse is for most of the military that are overseas. And so all I had to do is ship it to Kansas and then tag it with all the necessary information. And they put it on the next cargo plane or the next ship or whichever they did.
Yeah.
But he called me back 2 weeks later after getting it, and he said, thank you so much, But that's what we want to do. We're not here to try and, nobody's getting rich in the hardware business, I promise.
Okay.
And so understanding that, it's a passion of ours.
Yes.
That we try and do.
And in other areas of the hardware and home products industry, they're going through what everybody else goes through, not only turnover, but the fact that the only people they can get to come work for them, apparently, are 20 years old, and they're already on their phones. They were on their phones during the interview process.
Right.
They were texting their mom or their girlfriend during the interview process, and they will continue to do that in the store.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't allow that. I mean, plain and simple.
Good. That's a great thing. We're going to talk about Wilmington Grills, why anybody would want to have one shipped to Italy in just a bit. We're going to talk with Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. We are on Making Your Home Great on FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
With Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, and we are talking about, well, we started talking about Wilmington Grills.
Yes, sir.
And you shipped Wilmington Grills to Italy and to else?
We have sent Wilmington Grills to about, I think there's 38 states that we've sent them to.
Why would somebody in Nebraska or Italy want a Wilmington Grill?
Because, and this is not a sales pitch or a fluff, but no. It literally is the last grill you'd want to buy. Case in point is two of the gentlemen that I bought the hardware store from, Henry Burke and Johnny Burke. Johnny lives down in the Wilmington area on the Intracoastal Waterway.
Yeah.
His Wilmington grill is bolted to his dock that sits over the water. Henry's grill sits on the back deck of his house at Atlantic Beach. Yeah. Both of those grills just celebrated their 27th birthday. And so you take a grill that's you know, it's built at the coast for the coast.
Right.
But both of those, and people sit there and say, well, there's got to be something. Well, okay, there was something. The older grills were built with cast iron burners.
Yes.
And, yes, they gave up, you know, they gave up the ghost after a while.
Yeah.
The new burners that they put in are a cast stainless burner.
Yeah.
And they're warrantied for the lifetime of the grill, period.
Oh, man.
I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Right.
We've got one that we take over. I'm fortunate enough to be able to watch certain football games in West Raleigh.
Yes.
We take our grill over for the state games.
Yes.
And we enjoy it, and then we load it back up. So it gets used and abused.
Yes.
But tonight, when I go outside and turn it on, it'll turn on. It'll get from, I can slow roast. I've done oysters. I can steam oysters in it. I can do a slow roast like a Boston butt or you know, whatnot.
Yes.
Or it'll get up to 700 degrees, and it'll sear a steak. My wife likes her steaks rare.
Yeah.
So it'll do her steak rare. So it literally will do everything we want it to do.
Man.
And it's not, you know, one funny story was, gentleman down at Langley Beach, he had his grill out on his dock, and it went during a hurricane. He went out after the hurricane, minimal damage to the house and dock, but the grill was gone. So he thought the grill had been stolen. So he files a report, gets a new grill. Then about 9 or 10 months later, he's on the sound side, and his house is in a really shallow area, so he's got a flat bottom boat. So he and his son were out fishing one day, and they see this shiny thing in the water. They just saw a very small shiny thing. So they put down a marker to figure out where it was. They took their fishing equipment back and got some ropes and whatnot, and they came out and come to find out it was his grill that had gotten washed out into the sound. So he got the grill, brought it back up, and like I said, he had the old cast iron burner. So for $300, $350, he got a new set of burners, and now that grill is on his back porch at his house here in Raleigh.
Holy mackerel.
So, it, you know, 9 or 10 months in the water, there was absolutely no damage to it.
Is that air? And
neither of those grills at the coast are covered.
They're not covered.
There's no cover on them.
So if I got one of these grills, I wouldn't have to cover it in Raleigh.
That's right. The only two issues that I, you know, again, going back to me not trying to be, maybe don't sell enough, is with the Wilmington grill, you don't need a cover because it's all stainless, a 304 stainless.
Yeah.
The only two issues that I tell people that they do want to cover it is, one, there's a friend of mine that was had a grill that was in Apex.
Yes.
And his house backs up to where 540 was being built. Yes. And so they cleared all the trees behind his house, and then all of a sudden there's a shiny grill that's on his back deck.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I'm not saying who or why or whatnot, but then about 3 days later, the grill goes missing. And yeah. So it was before the days of having all the cameras outside. But that's, you know, if you think that it's an area that you're prone to having issues,
yeah.
That's one thing, because then it's just a black cover of another grill. You can't tell what's underneath it. But the other one, the more important one, is if your deck or outside area is in a situation where you have like pine trees or maple trees over it,
yes,
and you have a lot of sap issues,
yes,
then when you turn the grill on, it's gonna, you know, that sugary sap is gonna start smoking. It's gonna look bad.
Yeah.
So that's another reason that I would suggest doing it. That's what a lady in Durham that bought one about 6 months ago. She came back to me and she said, "I remember your story about the grill."
Yeah.
And she said, this spring, the maple started popping out.
Yeah.
And she said, "I realized it's a maple. I want to cover." So, you know.
Yeah.
But, and there's a host of accessories you can get for them. Like I said, I've got an insert that I put in there, and we can do oysters. We do oysters about 5 or 6 times a year outside.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of people over. You can put about a third of a bushel in the pan at the time.
Yes.
And steam them. And
wow.
It's a, you know, we love our grill.
That's great. All right. What other products in the store are really unique to either to your store or unique that I can't find at Big Box?
Well, so we have council tools that are made down at Lake Waccamaw.
Yes.
Council tools are all hand done. They're hand forged. The all of the handles are hickory versus a light, you know, a breakable ash or whatnot.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. Benjamin Moore paint, which is not available in big box stores. We're a full line dealer for Ben Moore paint.
Yeah.
And, you know, tell people if you want to make an impression and change your room in a weekend,
yeah,
get a gallon of paint.
Yeah.
Because nothing changes a room more than changing the color of the gallon of paint with a gallon of paint. And it's easy to do. Those are the two of the biggest ones. You know, we certainly are a fastener department with Midwest Fasteners. I guess I kind of brag about it. We probably have more variety of fasteners than just about anybody else in Wake County.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't mind – I certainly don't mind buying assortments of fasteners, because I think people might need some stuff.
Yes.
There's some tractor stuff that we've had there that, honestly, I probably bought because I needed them.
Yeah, sure.
But at the same time, people come in and need stuff, and we want to be there to supply them.
That's great. That's great. The other thing is advice. I can come in with a question about my toilet that's hissing for 5 minutes after it's been flushed.
Right.
And somebody there will help me diagnose it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I tell people, especially with when you bring up toilets, well, toilets are an issue in and of themselves, because the only thing standard in plumbing is that there are no standards in plumbing.
Yeah.
And so I tell people, if you come in, if you've got a toilet issue, take the top off the back, off the tank.
Yeah.
Take a picture of the inside of the toilet. Because we can tell you, it's hard for me to tell you by description what kind of toilet you have.
Right.
But if you bring a picture of it, we can do it.
All right. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here on Making Your Home Great every Saturday at 11 o'clock, even though I wanted to sleep in today, on WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
And Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. He's here for the balance of the hour. You want to call us up, 919-860-9783, 919-860-9783. 9783. You're talking about you know, plumbing. There's no standard in the fixtures at
That's
all.
That's right. There is none.
But a person who has a leaky faucet or a leaky toilet or whatever, they can come to you for the advice and maybe buy the product that fixes it.
That's right. We in all likelihood, have everything necessary to fix anything in your plumbing.
Yeah.
Again, you know, with a picture. Case in point, we had on Wednesday, we walk into the house, and our house is very old.
Yeah.
But walk into the house, and you heard what sounded in the kitchen, what sounded like sort of gas leaking.
Yeah.
Well, our gas is, I mean, it's on, don't get me wrong, but I mean, we're not using it.
Yeah.
And we didn't smell anything. And I've heard this before. And so I went and turned our well off and opened up the faucets. And when the well sort of ran dry and the pressure tank ran dry, amazingly, the sound went away.
Okay.
So we turned the well back on and looked under the house and figured out where the line was leaking.
Yes.
Well, our well has a galvanized pipe that comes up into the house.
Yeah.
It then transitions to copper. It then transitions to PVC.
Yes.
It then also transitions to PEX.
Holy
and so,
mackerel.
Right, so so my son and I quickly devised, and then you got to figure out, okay, what size pipe did we have?
You're right.
Our son thought we had a 1-inch line coming out of from the well. I thought it was 1.25 inches. Well, he was right, as my son usually is.
Okay.
But we had the parts necessary. We, you know, turned the water off and went that night without water. But we, you know, woke up the next morning, went to Burke Brothers and got all the stuff we needed or thought we'd need.
Yeah.
And came home and returned about 90% of what we had gone home with because we wanted to make sure we had everything.
Okay. That's knowledgeable.
That's
sure.
right. So, you know, that's the other thing is, you know, people come in and they say, well, do I need this or this? And I say, well, do me a favor. Buy both.
Yeah.
Bring the one that you don't need back.
Yeah.
I won't say we're elated to take returns, but we have absolutely no problem with people returning stuff.
Yes.
Because we want you, when you get home, whether it's plumbing or electrical or whatever you're trying to fix, right. We want to make sure that when you get to your house or your business, whatever you're trying to work on, we want to make sure that you have everything you need at that time to fix the problem.
Yes.
And if you need to bring some stuff back, fine. We're okay with that. You know, ask the owner. He'll tell you. You know, it's okay.
Ask the owner. He's right here.
Yeah. You know, we have absolutely no problem with that.
That's terrific.
And again, if you get under the house and you think there's an issue,
yeah.
Again, in this day and age, take a picture, call me.
Yep.
And we'll walk. Had a lady that one of her animals is allergic to Bermuda grass. And
wow.
Right. And so she has recently moved here. So she took like 9 pictures of different parts of her yard and said, can you tell me what kind of grass I have?
Yeah.
And I was able to tell her, well, one of the pictures had Bermuda. The good news is it was in the very front part of the house next to the curb.
Yeah.
The dog doesn't go out there, so it was okay. You know, the backyard was nothing but fescue. Fescue
right.
and weeds, but, you know.
I got you.
Welcome to North Carolina.
I got fescue and weeds, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
A fair amount of people have weeds and fescue.
Yeah, that might be the equation. It's not a 60-43.
That's right.
More like a 75-15, you know. Wow.
Well, you know, there's an old adage that's out there that says, do you have a lawn or do you have a yard?
Yeah.
And I have a yard because when you drive by the house, you know, you look over and it's green.
Okay.
Therefore, I have a yard.
You have a yard.
People that have a lawn are the people that have, you know, quarter acre lots that host a lot of parties. And the people are sitting there standing on the grass and they look down and you have grass.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's a lawn.
That's a lawn.
That's a lawn.
So you have a yard.
I have a yard.
You have a yard. Okay, good. Because at one point you diagnosed that I probably have a yard also.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And most people do. And most people are absolutely okay with that.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, the price I would pay for make it into a lawn, I'm not willing to pay.
Right, and that's fine.
It's green in the summer. I don't see well enough to know whether that green is a weed or grass.
Right.
It just is.
The pastures where the horses are.
Yeah.
That's grass.
Sure. Has to be.
Has to be because it makes my feed bill cheaper.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, just a moment ago, I did my math incorrectly. If I'm 75% weeds, then I'm 25% grass.
Right.
That's what it is, 70, 75, 25. I don't know how I got that wrong. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. We're talking about your lawn. By the way, you can diagnose problems or at least identify plants that are growing in your yard.
Right.
And they're, you know, there they are.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that I got Steve that works with us that he's my plumbing guru.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not so full of myself that I'm going to sit there and try to diagnose something in a plumbing that if Steve is there,
yes,
I'm going to kick it over to him because he's vastly more knowledgeable about that.
Okay.
And that's the great thing about the employees that are at the store. None of us think so much of ourselves that we think we can answer every single question.
Yes.
If there's somebody that's at the store or accessible that knows more than that person does, none of us are afraid to pick up the phone or to get on the radio and say, hey, help me with this issue.
Right. The flip side of that at the big box is that everyone assumes that they don't know enough to help you at all. That must be the thing, because they don't help you at all.
Yeah, and then they'll kick you over to aisle number 342.
Yes, yes. Half a mile to find a fastener.
Whereas, you know, that store, the furthest parking lot from the front door, I think, is 80 feet.
So. You mean within the store, you can't...
When you walk out the front door,
yeah.
I don't think you go more than 80 feet to get to your car.
Okay. All right. Well,
Most of it's within about 40 feet.
And the idea, I see the fellows at the big box and, you ask them where left-handed crescent wrench is or where whatever, and they're looking on their phone.
Right.
I don't want to know on your phone.
Right.
I want you to have the knowledge of where it is. Forget about how to use it. Forget about that.
Right.
I just want to know
where it is.
You should at least know where it is off the top of your head.
Right, and we'll take you to it.
You're not going to point.
We're not going to point.
Okay.
You know, there are times during lunch hour sometimes that we get a little shorthanded,
yeah,
and we do have to point.
Yeah,
but as soon as we point, somebody's on the radio asking for somebody else to meet that customer.
Yes,
in that area.
That's a good thing.
Period.
Yeah, because you don't want the customer to bring the wrong thing to to the window.
Well, and more importantly, we don't want the customer to have the wrong thing when they get to their house.
Right.
We want them to have the right thing to get what they need to have done. That at that point in time,
you have tens of thousands, if not more, individual items.
Yes, sir.
You have how many?
I think I've got about around 55,000.
And we're talking about, of course, individual. You know, when you say plumbing, that's got to be where a lot of it's focused.
Right, yeah, because, again, plumbing, you've got pipe thread, you've got compression thread,
yeah,
and you got flare thread, and you've got brass, you've got stainless steel, you got galvanized pipe, black pipe, PVC. Right. So, yeah, it's a myriad of products.
Right. You've got to have something to suit every need for application.
Right, because we also do a lot of stuff with NC State University,
yes,
and Meredith College and the rental units that are around us. So, you know, the diversity of the products that are out there and the needs are such that, again, you know, being a small store, all they've got to do is ask me to start carrying something.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, boom, the next Tuesday or Thursday, we're going to have it for them.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool thing. And the other thing is you provide services that almost nobody I know do, at least one-stop services. I could probably find somebody elsewhere in the triangle to sharpen my garden tools, but I can't find somebody who sharpens garden tools, fixes lamps, and
rescreens screens.
Rescreens screen doors,
right,
and windows. Those are skills. You got to have individual people for each one, right?
That's correct. We do.
We
also do a good job of cross-training. You know, there's like, you think rescreening a screen is a big deal, and it is a big deal. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But there's four of us at the store that can rescreen a screen. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that we can do it while you wait.
Yeah.
Because I think right now I've got 36 screens in there waiting to be rescreened. So,
wow. Yeah.
You know, it's that time of year.
Yeah.
But yeah, sharpening a lawnmower blade, you'll have it back the next day, if not that afternoon.
Right.
Knives that are not serrated, we'll do those and usually have those back the next day.
Can't fix a serrated knife, can't sharpen
can't
it?
Can't sharpen a serrated knife.
Okay.
And then, you know, lamp repair, 2-3 days.
Yeah.
You know, we want to exceed the expectations.
Right.
And we, you know, sometimes we fail, but most of the times, I think we do a pretty good job.
And I think that if anybody is out today antiquing and they come upon grandma's electric lamp, okay, you have to bring it to Burke Brothers Hardware and have Jeff Hastings or somebody else rewire it.
Right.
Just don't go with, oh, yeah, it works some of the time.
Right.
You really... You're going to rewire it modern way.
That's right.
Okay, that's good. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. We are on Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here with Making Your Home Great. We were talking about the things that you'll do that are, you know, above and beyond. Honestly, hardware store might have used to done that, you know, fixed window screens. And you might have used to, you know, get something sharpened. But you guys are still doing it.
We are, and because there's no, you know, you're talking back about some of the big box stores.
Yeah.
We have no stockholders that we have to make happy. We have two of them, and that's me and my wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so if we want to make a decision to do or not to do something,
yes,
it's always driven by what we hear at the register and what we think needs to happen.
Yes.
It's like, for instance, we made the mental decision, there are some scissors that we don't like to sharpen anymore.
Okay.
People that have scissors that really for, you know, really nice fabric scissors.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman that's down at the farmer's market that works a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
That is set up to do that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we will politely tell them, hey, here's his card. He's going to do a better job than we ever will.
And if they arrive at your store, you're basically pointing in that direction. Here.
That's right.
Come out of here. Come around there and
right.
Then find the guy at the flea market.
Well, it's farmer's market.
Oh,
but
sorry,
yeah,
farmer's
no, that's okay.
market.
But,
I apologize.
But, no, but yeah, it's, you know, that's just kind of who we are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's enough of a demand for doing those services that
right.
we still do them because we want to make the customers happy. There's one guy that's in Apex that couldn't get his screens to us because he didn't have a way to get them to us. They were too big to fit in his car.
Yeah.
I just simply, on my way into work on Tuesday, stopped by his house, picked up the screens, and, you know, end of this week, I'll take them back to him. you know, but that's because being involved with so many things that I am in Apex and Raleigh.
Yes.
You know, I know I've known these people for a long time, and these people know that, or at least I hope they know that they can trust me, you know, to get something done for them.
Yeah. Yeah. If you drop something off at the store, he's not going to forget about it.
Right.
And you just have to compare that to what you have had happen at other stores.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean that I haven't forgotten a thing or two in my life, because I have, but I try to make up for it when I screw up, things like that.
You talk about the computer earlier. You referenced the fact that you can find out things.
Right.
You know, and what kind of fuse you need. The computer has gone haywire in my wife's car. They've had it for 3 weeks or more.
Right.
We've been running around in a car that started out with 15 miles on it. They gave us a loaner car with 15, and we've put hundreds of miles on it waiting for her car.
Right.
And, you know, they're not calling anymore. They're not taking care of things. They tell us, oh, yeah, this part will fix it. You'll have it by Monday. And
well, they just didn't tell you what week.
Yeah, they didn't tell me. You know, you're not getting that from Burke Brothers. You're getting top shelf service from Burke Brothers.
I hope so.
Unless, of course, he forgets it.
Right.
Which is entirely human. But yeah, you've got those 30 some odd screens lined up. And
right.
I feel that we should end the show early so you can get started on a screen. But wow. The range of things you can get. Because you're not a large store, it's not a long walk to everything. But also, you're not selling flooring.
Right.
You're not, in fact, you're not doing things you're not good at.
Right. And people call up and, you know, I tell people from the very beginning, the modern, quote unquote, hardware stores, they seem to have furniture, they seem to have giftware, they
yes.
seem to have a lot of, you know, fluffy stuff.
Yeah.
We're not that store. We don't have furniture.
Right.
We've got Wilmington Grills.
Yep.
We're working to become a dealer for the Green Egg, which I think the Big Green Egg.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which is, hopefully have that in the next 4 to 5 weeks.
That's sort of a chair and a swing or something.
No, the Big Green Egg is a charcoal grill. It's a ceramic charcoal grill.
Oh, wow.
That's real
yeah.
popular.
Oh, okay.
But we don't have 45 Weber grills sitting out there.
Yes.
You know, we don't have furniture. We don't have a lot of the fluffy stuff. We are just a good hardware store that your father's father walked into.
Right.
Because we still carry that stuff.
You're not selling lawnmowers, but if my lawnmower breaks and I feel like I can fix it, am I stopping by your store?
Well, a little bit.
A little bit?
We can talk you through some stuff.
Yeah.
But we don't repair lawnmowers.
Right. Well, my
Again,
point is,
yeah.
you don't fix them.
Right.
But if I need a part.
Right. I can probably help you out with it. And if it's not something that we carry, I'll be happy to tell you where to go.
Yeah. Okay. And if something is so complicated that DIYer, you know, it's a shade tree
mechanic
plumber
yeah
shade tree plumber or electrician can't do, you actually probably know some people who
right.
could do it to an expert level.
Right. Yes, sir. Exactly.
I mean I talk about, and Brock's going to be on the next hour, I talk about Brock as the ultimate what do they call it when business people talk to business people. It's networking.
Yeah, networking.
He's the ultimate networker.
Right.
You are too. Because you know so many people.
And right, and it's also just trying to get somebody. Very few people walk into the store, and there are some, but very few people walk into the store just to look around.
Yeah.
They walk in because they have a problem. My job is to solve that problem. And if that problem can't be solved within our 4,400 square feet, I'm more than happy to tell them, in my opinion, who can solve that problem.
Yes. And you know, it's a shame because walking through your store is actually neat.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that you had birdseed until I walked in.
Yeah.
And what is the company that does that? The Kohl's?
Kohl's. Yeah, Kohl's birdseed.
They've got a birdseed that is black oil sunflower seeds without the shell.
Right.
I mean, they got to have some people in Taiwan crunching on those things and spitting them out or something.
No, it's all done by a machine down in Georgia.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Okay. Well, See, what little I know about machines.
Yeah.
And the birds just love it.
The birds do love it.
They know it's less work.
That's right.
And that bird seed especially does not have fillers.
That's right.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, if the birds don't eat it, it's going to grow in your grass.
That's right.
And it's terrible when you get an infestation. I made the mistake one time of putting the bird feeder near my tomato plants.
Oh, okay.
And I had weeds like you wouldn't believe.
That's right.
All right. Tell me about plants. You do have plants.
We do. And it's not too late to plant them. No. You know, I think last year at this time it was rather warm, so we're maybe having a different conversation, but I think the high today is 76 degrees. But
yeah,
we still have, you know, so we got about 25 different cucumbers,
yep,
okra, eggplant.
You have zucchini?
Zucchini.
All right.
Several different varieties of squash.
All right. We've got to run for the news, but Jeff Hastings from Burke Brothers,
yep,
thank you.
Come out to see us.
Burke Brothers Hardware in Raleigh. This is WPTF. Making your home great, my co-host Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here, actually is a guest. You're not a co-host today.
I'm not a guest today.
You don't help me with the questions. You could, but you're the only guest here.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to talk about Triangle Radiant Barrier. I have seen trucks that say, you need help with your crawl space? Call us. And it's a bug truck.
Yeah.
And they'll do my crawl space, apparently.
A lot of them have tried to get into the industry. There's a couple who are actually not too bad at it that I've run into in the last year or two.
Yeah.
Now, it's far and few between. You know, for every 15 or 20 that I inspect that have been sealed by a bug company, I might run into one or two that look really good, but they're by the same company.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one or two companies out there now that are doing bug treatment that are doing decent crawl spaces. The rest of them are a little questionable on the quality of materials that they're using, how they're setting up dehumidifiers, how they're running the drainage. There's a lot of skill that's involved when you do crawl space encapsulation, on top of the fact it's permitted. And what I'm finding is a good majority of the bug companies are not pulling permits. Now, that being said, if you're doing structural repair on your house, if you're adding electrical, if you're adding plumbing, if you're doing something that can oversize what you're capable, for example, that's why, you know, if you have a septic system, it's set up for three bathrooms. You add a fourth and a fifth bathroom, you typically have to modify the septic system to accommodate the additional water flow in a larger tank. That's just one of many examples. Those absolutely 100% need to be permitted, because if they're not done correctly, they can cause a lot of problems.
Right. Right.
Crawl space work is about improving indoor air quality. About half the air you breathe originates from the crawl space.
Yeah.
So it's about sealing up the vents, insulating it properly, getting it sealed up as best as possible, put a dehumidifier down there to keep the humidity low. So in reference to permits, you don't need a permit to insulate a crawl space. You do need a permit to put in a dehumidifier if there's not already an electrical outlet. And you do need a permit if you don't do a dehumidifier, if you elect to go with air induction.
Right.
You need a mechanical permit because you have to install air inducers on junction plenums, junction boxes.
Yeah.
So there are certain items in a crawl space, if you're doing encapsulation, that you can or that you need to have permitted. And unfortunately, in my experience, a lot of the fly-by-the-night companies that are just trying to pick up ceiling crawl spaces on the side of their main business,
right,
that's where they're falling short.
The other thing that, other than permitting, and, you know, some of us have an idea about permitting that's not necessarily positive, but when you permit, you pull a permit, it's got to be inspected.
In most cases, yes.
Yeah.
We have actually pulled permits before, and they've sent somebody out that was there for about 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Popped the door open, looked, said, yep, looks great. You know, you can send your payment into this county. Thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah. But these guys know that they're not going out to inspect an entire crawl space. They're going out to inspect an air plenum or a, you know, an electrical outlet for the dehumidifier.
Right. On the other hand, you know the science involved in this, and I'm not overstating it to say that there is a science of crawl spaces.
There is. We didn't used to think so. You go back 20 years, 30 years ago, you know, all these houses were built ventilated.
Yeah.
You know, the science behind that was, you know, let's get clean airflow underneath the house so it doesn't become stagnant. And you know what? If your house is in the middle of a field and it's windy, those work great.
Yeah.
You know, you got a bunch of trees around you. The airflow is displaced when it's trying to, it's not working the way that it should.
Right.
And last 20, 30 years, we've realized that, unfortunately, even if a crawl space is left ventilated, you can run into quite a bit of organic growth down there. Mold and bacterial growth, fungal growth, stuff that actually eats the wood that it's growing on.
Mm-hmm.
So a while back, they figured out, well, if you seal the vents and you add induction or add a dehumidifier, you keep the humidity low enough, there's not enough moisture in the air to produce condensation.
Yeah.
And if there's no condensation, there's no mold growth.
Right.
Mold, like people, need air, food, and water.
Yes.
So when you choke off the moisture supply, there's not enough moisture in the air to produce condensation, there is no mold.
Right.
So there is a science behind it. We hook up actual electronic monitoring systems in crawl spaces after we've done the work that we give the homeowners access to on their smartphones. So
sure.
They can monitor and know what's going on underneath their house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It'll track the data up to a year, builds a line graph, shows you your highs, your lows.
Right.
And then, you get a text message all of a sudden at the top of the phone. It says critical humidity rating in your crawl space.
Yeah.
The humidity's gotten too high. Well, that's impossible. I've got a dehumidifier. You run down there real quick. Oh, the dehumidifier's been tripped. So you trip the outlet back on, dehumidifier kicks on.
Yeah.
So these little monitoring systems, they keep you up to date on current information all the time.
Right.
And you'll know if there's a problem before it causes damage.
This air induction idea, am I correct that what we're doing is we're taking a little bit of either air-conditioned air or heated air, depending on the season, and we're sharing it with the crawl space?
Correct. Most ducts that you see are 8-inch ducts.
Okay.
Okay. An air inducer is a 20-millimeter valve that you basically screw into the junction plenum in the crawl space.
Okay.
Now, it has an inverted butterfly valve, so when the air is not running, the valve is closed. But when you're running your air conditioner or heater, the airflow moving through your system pushes the valve open.
Yeah.
You start displacing about 150 cubic feet per minute into a sealed environment.
Right.
Now, how much is 150 feet? You know, put your hand, about 8 to 10 inches away from your face and lightly blow into the palm of your hand. That's about how much airflow is coming out of these.
Yeah.
But the theory is if you've sealed it properly, you're pressurizing the environment with conditioned air.
Right.
Now, there's pros and cons to air induction. Air induction's only working when you're running your air conditioner.
Well,
so if you're not running your air conditioner, you're not putting any air down there, and the humidity can start to climb.
Okay.
Dehumidifier, that's not a problem.
Yeah, but that's already happened in the house if you're not using your air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If you've opened the windows and turned everything off, the humidity's rising in your house as well.
Correct.
Eventually, you're going to turn around and turn on the air conditioning.
You are. What we have noticed since homeowners, now air induction is much cheaper than a dehumidifier. So there's a lot of homeowners that are doing crawl space encapsulation that want to keep the cost low.
Yeah.
And decide to go with air induction over a dehumidifier. Now, we still hook up a sensor. That sensor is to alert you if the humidity gets too high.
Yeah.
A good deal of air induction customers call us on 65 to 70 degree cloudy, rainy days.
Yeah.
And they're saying, look, my sensor's alerting me the humidity is too high under the house. Oh, you know, we looked up your contract. It looks like you went with air induction, so it's not a problem with the dehumidifier. You need to run the air conditioner. Mm-hmm. Well, it's cool in my house, but it's not under your house. Under your house, it's starting to get very humid. And you elected to go with air induction, so you need to run your air conditioner to start bringing the humidity down there. Most people get a few months of that before they're like, nope, I don't like this. I want to go ahead and put in a dehumidifier. And then we go back out, put it in a dehumidifier.
And a dehumidifier is not breaking the bank. You're putting in...
Not with us.
Not with you. Okay.
I am getting shocking information from other homeowners that are bringing us out to talk about dehumidifiers. And we give them an estimate. And they're like, this is impossible. This is half.
Okay. We're going to continue with that shocking information. And number three, you'll never guess. I'm acting like the internet now. We've got some shocking information coming up. And number three, you would never anticipate. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here on FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
And today, the shocking truth about crawl spaces with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, here only.
Fear tactics is...
Yeah, we're going to... Don't scare people, but tell
Trying
them
not to.
What other people are doing.
All right, so... A really, really good dehumidifier is about $1,000 to $1,400 for the unit.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got to pay somebody to install it.
Sure.
Most of the time, we're somewhere in the $1,800 to $2,200 range, give or take.
Yeah.
Now, there's some larger units. You know, every once in a while, you'll run into a 4,000 square foot, one story ranch house.
Yeah.
And you need a big dehumidifier to do that much space. But the majority of them are kind of in that price range.
Yeah.
The feedback I'm getting from a lot of my clients are, you know, I took estimates for four or five different companies. You know, you guys, what was shocking to me is the price for your dehumidifier. These other guys are trying to charge, you know, $3,800 to $6,200 to put into dehumidifier, which is insanely expensive.
Yes.
So, and look, the dehumidifiers I'm talking about are the best of the best, as far as I'm concerned. April Air and Santa Fe.
Okay.
Those are going to run you about $1,000 to $1,200 for the unit. Then you got to pay somebody to hook it all up, you know, put a suspension hanging kit, run the drainage so you're not having to fill up a bucket, you know, that you're dumping out.
Sure.
So to install it correctly, you should be in that $1,700 to $2,300 range. If you're getting estimates from companies and they're charging you grossly more than that, go sit down at Google. Type in the name of the dehumidifier and find out what that unit sells for at Amazon.
Right.
It takes an experienced installer less than an hour to install a dehumidifier.
Yeah.
So charging $4,000 or $5,000, it's an insult. So for the listeners out there that are thinking about a dehumidifier, but you're worried because you hear these horror stories about price, don't spend that kind of money. We'd be more than happy to come out there and install a dehumidifier for you. We do a billion of these things, so we don't need to charge a fortune.
Right.
We're doing a ton of them.
Right.
So let's bring the cost down as low as possible and try to increase the volume.
Is there some application for a dehumidifier without sealing the crawl space?
No. That'd be like running the air conditioner with the windows open.
Okay.
It's just going to run 24 hours a day, and it's never going to actually do what you're hoping for.
Even if I lower those little, or close those little flapper doodles on the side of the house?
So a dehumidifier has an intake and an outtake.
Okay.
The intake is very strong. It's sucking all the air from inside the crawl space into the dehumidifier, and the outtake is then blowing it out after it's been dehumidified.
Yes.
So if the vents are just closed, you can see a bunch of cracks, airflow. When that system is running, it's sucking air from outside into the crawl space. So it's never going to work. It's going to be a constant 24-hour rotation. As soon as you seal the vents, just like as soon as you close the windows in your house and turn the air conditioner on, it starts working very quickly. Now, the way the dehumidifiers that we install work is they have an internal thermal hygrometer. So when the humidity gets to the required setting, it shuts off. It doesn't kick back on again till it gets higher than that setting. So it's a high-efficiency unit.
Right.
They don't run all day. That's the point. And as long as you do general maintenance on them, which is simple, the filters in most cases are washable. I've had my filter like 9 years.
Yeah.
As long as you take good care of the filter, it'll last as long as the dehumidifier.
Yeah.
So you just lightly rinse that in hot water twice a year. Maybe run vinegar through the drain line once a year to make sure there's no calcification and buildup.
Right.
And that's it. The thing just keeps going and going and going.
So if we're getting an extraordinarily large estimate, we should get your estimate also.
I mean, I would recommend it. My assumption is a lot of our competitors see that as one of their high profit margins.
Yeah.
We don't. Our margins are built into other areas of the company.
Right.
Installing plastic, for example, the way we do it.
Yeah.
We make good money on plastic and wall insulation. The dehumidifier is already a very expensive component. So increasing that by 4 or 5 fold makes it unrealistic.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, knowing what the dehumidifier could retail go for.
Right.
I mean, can I look these up on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. They literally sell them on Amazon.
I don't suggest to anybody that you just go ahead and buy it on Amazon and then try to put it in themselves.
Well, so believe it or not, the dehumidifiers it's got a plug.
Yeah.
I mean, you pull it out of the box, you plug it in.
Yeah.
The hard part is the drainage. A lot of people know dehumidifiers. They think of there's a bucket on the front of it, and it gets filled up with water, and I got to go empty the bucket. These don't have buckets.
Mm-hmm.
There's a knob on the side that when it produces the water drips out the side of the dehumidifier. So you either run that down to a pump, and then that pumps it outside, or you suspension hang the dehumidifier, which is what we do.
Okay.
And we put PVC connected to that drain outlet, and it gravity drains outside. So we're bypassing needing a pump, which is just another mechanical thing that's going to fail over time.
Right.
Let's just gravity drain it. We hook it up to a suspension hanging kit. So there's a little bit of skill involved in doing the drainage properly, so you're not having to constantly go down there and dump water.
Right.
That's really where the skill set comes from, is ordering the hanging kit. If you want it ducted, you know, the April Airs come with baffles, so you can actually hook ductwork up to it. That way you can put the dehumidifier closer to the door, so you're not having to crawl 30 feet into the crawl space to get to it.
Amen.
You can hook the ductwork, run the ductwork into the crawl space, so it's easier to access, easier to get to the filter. These are just all things to kind of take into consideration when you're doing these.
Wow. I mean, we're going to try to we're going to split this show into halves.
All right.
We're gonna talk about the dehumidifier in the crawl space first, and then move on to radiant barrier and the
insulation.
Attic.
Yeah.
Yeah. The idea of encapsulating your crawl space, does it encapsulate it from bulk water? Like rain.
Groundwater.
Yeah, groundwater.
No, and that's a common misconception. When you seal a crawl space, you're insulating the walls of the crawl space, and you're laying plastic down, covering all of the dirt, taping it all up, wrapping the columns. That's how you encapsulate a crawl space. Well, water, okay, if you have poor exterior drainage, you don't have good gutters, you know, you get a lot of water dumping on your foundation wall after a major rainstorm.
Yeah.
That water doesn't go through the wall. I assume people are under the impression, well, it's getting in there because it's going through the wall. No, that's masonry. It's not getting through the masonry. It's solid masonry.
Right.
It's going under the wall, and it's coming up in the crawl space as groundwater. Okay, it hits the water table, it comes back up, and it shows up in the crawl space as groundwater. So sealing the vents, insulating the walls, putting down plastic, that doesn't prevent groundwater from getting into your crawl space. That is an exterior drainage item, i.e. gutters, exterior box drains, French drains, a way to take that water and carry it to another location.
Yeah.
And that's if you have a crawl space. If you have a foundation, it's not necessary. You want to water the foundation.
Right. And do you do those things?
Water the foundation?
No. The
the exterior drainage?
Exterior drainage.
So Exterior drainage is normally done by a landscaping company because in most cases they have to trench through your flower bed and uproot bushes and, you know, then replant them when they're done.
Oh, you're not willing to do that?
I don't know if my guys have that skill set. If I had a bunch of Jeff Hastings on my crew, you know, I trust Jeff to come out there and do something like that, but he knows a lot about botany. He knows
how
to dig up a plant and replant it. I don't want one of my customers saying, your guys killed my blueberry bush. I don't want to have that conversation.
All right. When somebody says, like you, we're going to install a French drain, that just means, or that somebody needs to install a French drain, that just means that big plastic tubing, right?
Yeah, it's essentially a perforated tubing that runs up the exterior wall of your house. That way any water that would go down right there goes into the pipe and then is carried out to another location.
French drain just sounds like it's 19th century
fancy, you know, or something.
Yeah, it's like
it's corrugated PVC.
Yeah, it's so fancy. It's just plastic.
That being said,
yeah,
I work with one of the best exterior drainage guys in the business. So although we don't do it, I can pass you to someone who will.
All right, that's good. This is Making Your Home Great.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
You know, it's funny. I don't think people miss any of the broadcasts.
No, they should be here all the time, always.
And they tune in at 11 o'clock on Saturday and they stay till 1.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they stay the whole day. But frankly, if you missed part of this program, it's your fault. But come back, you know, you can listen to it online. But next week, you've got another chance to be loyal.
It's your fault. We were here on time today.
I was.
Everybody else needs to be here.
Yeah. You know, of course, if you show up late, I'm going to introduce you as Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Candles.
Yeah, that's right.
Or something. All right, so we've tackled underneath the house. You know a guy, and I bragged to you to Jeff Hastings. I said, Jeff networks. He knows where people are, but you really network.
It's part of my job, yeah.
You know a guy who can help out with the French drains and things like that.
Oh, yeah. So if we run into a homeowner that has a major bulk water issue after a storm, even though we don't do it, I can get them in contact with one of the best in the industry. I'm a big fan of this other company, and they do it for a very, very fair price.
And how long have you been around this area doing this work?
Oh, 2016?
Yeah.
So what is that? About 9 years now.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah, probably.
That's kind of love to carry the one.
It's 2025.
Yeah, that's right. So here about 9 years.
We would have to know the year it is now.
That's
and
correct.
Then we subtract
the
bigger number from the
run into with age is we forget what current year we're in.
It's all right. So you've run across good people, but let's talk about what you're doing in the attic. Triangle Radiant Barrier is several things, isn't it?
Yeah, we're a full insulation company.
Right.
So any and all insulation is something that we kind of took on as what we focus and specialize in. So we're a residential and commercial insulation company.
Right.
In doing that, we also seal crawl spaces.
Of course.
And because we seal crawl spaces and run into quite a bit of mold down there, we're also a BPI and CRMI certified mold remediation company. So those are the three things that we specialize in.
Right.
This time of year, it's all attic insulation.
Yeah.
Every now that the heat is starting to come back, which I think is hilarious because it's a beautiful day today, right?
Yeah.
Last week, we had a couple of days, it got into 85.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, our phones exploded. The top floor is too hot. We had to deal with this last year. We don't want to deal with it. It's almost like people forget how unbearable it can be on the top floor in the summer.
Yep.
So as soon as the temp goes over 85, our phones explode.
Which is counterintuitive from the contractor perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because how hot is it on an 85-degree day in the attic that's not finished at all?
If it's well ventilated, 95 to 100 on an 85 degree day. Once it gets to 90, it's 105 to 115. Once it gets to 95, it's 125 to 145.
Holy mackerel.
It goes up very quickly after it gets up over the 90 degree range. It's just, and if it's not ventilated well, I was in an attic last week. It was a 72 degree day. It was 94 degrees in that attic. There's no reason it should have been that hot.
Right.
Well, the homeowner didn't have soffit vents. They had a ridge vent, so they had outtake ventilation, but they had no intake ventilation. You have to have both. You have to have fresh air coming in to push that heat up to the ridge vent.
Right.
So that homeowner was prepared to spend thousands of dollars to have us insulate the attic. And I said, I think we need about 8 soffit vents installed. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 on the front, 4 on the back. We did that. Next day, she was like, I don't believe it. It made enough of an impact, and it was way less expensive than insulating her entire attic.
And the reason it was so hot before is because it was a closed-in box.
Mm-hmm.
Even imagine if your car didn't have windows. If you closed up your car or your van, your windowless van, yes, mm-hmm. you closed it up, it would be really hot in there.
It would. Let's say you have a sunroof, right? You're in the car and you open the sunroof about a quarter of the way, but the car's off.
Yeah.
Even though the sunroof is open a little bit, it's going to get very warm in your car very quickly.
Yes.
As soon as you roll down a couple of the windows, and then you got a breeze going through your car, taking that airflow up, it cools down 15, 20 degrees immediately.
Right.
So it's just the same logic. It's when you're dealing with home efficiency, it's always the same stuff. It's the thermostat, it's the air conditioner, it's the doors and the windows, it's the insulation, or it's the attic ventilation.
Right.
Those are all the variables that are going to cause you to have high utility cost, and it can be unbearable on the top floor of the home. It's going to be one of them. So when I come out to the house, I'm looking at all of them.
Yeah.
What's your problem? What kind of issues are you having? Okay, it's going to be one of these four things. Let's start running tests, find out which one it is.
Now, heat above the living area, will that affect the utility bills, even though it's just way up in the attic?
Yes, because your utility bill, about three-quarters, and this is per the U.S. Department of Energy, but about three-quarters of your utility bill is your heating and cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's throw a couple of variables out there. Let's say you have one thermostat. You've got a ranch home.
Yep.
The house is only a few years old, but your bills are super high. Well, what could the problem be? The air conditioner is only a few years old. Your insulation's only a few years old. I run into this problem all the time.
Yes.
Well, our house is only 1,400 square feet. We got a $260 electric bill.
Yes.
Ooh, all right, let's see what's going on. Walk in the house. Okay, so there's your thermostat in the hallway.
Yep.
Right under a giant uninsulated hole in the ceiling that's a pull-down attic ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
That thermostat doesn't know the temperature inside the house. It only knows the temperature inside the hallway. That hallway might be 5 degrees warmer than the rest of the house because you got a big attic entrance in that hallway.
Yeah.
So we go in and put in a $200 door cover, and all of a sudden our bill goes down 30%. It wasn't that her system was inefficient. It was the builder put the thermostat in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say you have a two-story house. You've got one thermostat. So you've got one big system that does the whole house, and that thermostat's on the bottom floor.
Right.
And you can never warm or get the top floor cool. Well, it's because your system shut off. The downstairs is already the temperature it's set on.
Yes.
The upstairs, it doesn't know what the temperature is up there, so it shuts the system down. Move the thermostat to the top floor, and you'll avoid that issue.
Right.
It's just tracking the problem, finding out what's the cause, and getting it corrected. That's it.
All right. Let's pick up with Pete. Welcome to the show, Pete. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Dave, from Fuquay. How have you been?
Good. What's
good,
cooking?
Good. I recently had a crawl space encapsulated, and when they did the job, they took out the insulation.
Mm-hmm.
Should that be reinstalled after the job is finished? Should it be re-insulated up under the floorboards and beams?
That's a good question. So I'm assuming when you say encapsulated, they did install insulation on the exterior walls of the crawl space, correct?
They did.
Okay, so that now serves as the insulation. The insulation on the subfloor no longer renders a purpose, so per code, you can pull that out. Now, the reason I say that, this winter, okay, this next winter when it's 20 degrees outside, go down into your crawl space. I'll bet you $1 million it's in the 50s or 60s. In the heat of the summer when it's 95 degrees outside, go down your crawl space. It's probably going to be in the 60s and 70s. So by insulating the exterior walls, did you do a dehumidifier or air induction?
Dehumidifier.
Okay.
With a drain sump pump.
Drain to the sump pump. Okay. Oh, a drained sump pump. Okay, gotcha. I don't believe it is going to be necessary. Now, that being said, I'm going to give you an answer here that's not going to make sense to begin with, but the more you think about it, the more it's going to make sense. Have you ever lived up north?
Yes.
Where about?
New Jersey.
Jersey. Okay. So you know what cold is like.
It's cold up there sometimes.
Yeah, it gets a little chilly up there. Let's say we build you a brand new house in Jersey. Brand new insulation. It's February and your heater doesn't work. You can freeze to death in your own house. Insulation does not stop cold air. Cold air cuts through it like it's not even there. Insulation is designed to retain and block hot air. So you turn a heater on in that space, all of a sudden that insulation's working. That being said, you don't lose heat through your subfloor in the winter. The heat in the house is rising. You don't gain heat from your floor in the summer. It's always cooler down there than it is outside. The insulation is not actually in your subfloor to insulate your floor. The reason it is there is mold cannot grow in insulation. It can grow in the paper backing of insulation, but it can't grow in insulation itself. It's not organic. It can't feed on it. So the insulation in your subfloor is to protect your subfloor from mold growth. When you encapsulate your crawl space, you're required by code to condition it. You did that with a dehumidifier, so it's no longer an environment conducive to mold, so that insulation can be removed.
10-4. All right, I appreciate the confirmation.
No worries. I'm glad that you had that done. That was a good investment.
Absolutely. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Pete.
Good talking with you.
All right, good talking with you, too. Call anytime. Okay. This goes along the lines of what we teach in third grade or fourth grade if they haven't picked it up in third grade.
I mean, it's been a while since I've been in third grade, so I get it. I've forgotten a lot.
Jackets do not warm you.
No.
They just prevent you from being cold.
They retain your body heat.
They retain your body heat, right. If you go to a women's clothing store and you put a mitten on the mannequin, and then you come back in 20 minutes.
The mannequin's hand's still
cold. Put the temperature. You know what will happen? They will kick you straight out of the store. But it's not like the mannequin's making, you know, it's not like the glove's warming you.
Right.
That's simple, but in a bigger scale.
Well,
you insulate your shed. It's not getting either cooler or warmer.
No, you got to put an air conditioner in there now.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you got to introduce airflow. So I'll tell you a personal story. This happened about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
This was a homeowner that paid us to insulate her crawl space. After we got done, winter came around. She has all tile floors throughout her house.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you talk to any flooring guy on the show, he can tell you, you know, if your crawl space is 60 degrees, that's not cold, but that means your floors that have tile are going to be about 60 degrees, and that is cold to your feet.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
we insulated, fully encapsulated her crawl space. Winter came around. She was like, oh, my floors are freezing. We're like, oh, were they freezing last year? Yeah, they were freezing last year, too. She said, no. And I tried explaining to her, this is not, you know, if we insulate your subfloor, this is not going to, nope, that's what I want. Do it. We said, okay. So we came in. We charged her to re-insulate 1,800 square feet of her subfloor.
Oh, yeah.
She was calling us 48 hours later. This didn't work. And I had to, I know it didn't work. I'm sorry. I have to get back to our previous conversation. This is not going to. So it's not there to insulate your floor. It's there to protect your floor from organic growth.
Okay. Good talk.
Good talk.
And I'm sure that cost the lady a little bit of money because at some point she had to do something else.
We did it for her at cost.
Oh, wow.
We probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
But she had just spent a good deal of money with us in encapsulating her crawl space. We wanted to make our customer as happy as possible.
Yeah.
Even though we knew it was not going to work. So we're like, look, we'll do it for break even material and labor. We're not going to make a nickel on this. But be prepared for this not to work. And, you know, 48 hours later, well, this didn't work. Like, well, yeah.
When the professional tells you it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
If a trustworthy professional tells you that, then yes.
No, you got me there. All right. We're talking with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier on making your home great. FM 92.9, AM 680, news, talk, and traffic.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great is on at 11 o'clock every Saturday on WPTF. If you miss a portion, go to WPTF.com and listen to the portion you missed or the whole show. It's very entertaining.
I do it all the time.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I never do.
Never?
I
normally listen to the portion of the show that I wasn't on.
Yes.
You know, if I'm in the car riding around, I'll pull up the shows. And, you know, like Jeff, for example, was here in the first hour. I didn't get to hear that, so I'll probably listen to his portion of the show later this week.
You know what I'll listen to? Every now and then we have to do a best of because I'm ill or some, you know, other thing. And when we run a best of, I listen to that.
Okay.
On the radio. I still think there's something magic about people talking on the radio and they're hearing us. Like miles and miles away.
It is surreal.
It's a good thing. All right, 919-860-9783 is our number. I don't have food to give you, but I'll tell you what. We'll go ahead and
we have knowledge.
Answer your question.
Yeah. We have knowledge to impart for you if you have a question.
You think you do? I mean, you've done roofing. You've done carpentry, rough carpentry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I never dabbled in was electrical. But anyone who knows me knows that is the most obvious thing that you could throw. I can't turn on a computer. I can build you a house.
Yeah.
I can't turn on your computer for you or get your email set up. Drives my wife and my business partner absolutely bonkers. My skill set is in a different area.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to houses, other than electrical, yes, I've dabbled in about everything.
All right. Let me talk to you about something that we didn't talk about off air, but I think you agree with me on. Young people who are told automatically to go to college ought to consider a trade.
The answer to that is absolutely. I do recommend trade. You also have to be that kind of person. You know, there's some people that are obsessed with working with their hands. They like building things. They like constructing things. They take pride in quality and stuff like that. Those are the perfect kind of contractors.
Yeah.
If you're content sitting at a computer, working at a cubicle, maybe even graphic design, you know, those people might not translate very well into that industry. So I tell people to follow what they think they'll enjoy, what they're good at.
Yeah.
Truthfully, was a really good auto mechanic. I took pride in working on cars and fixing them correctly. There wasn't enough money in it to keep me there long term, so I moved into the residential construction industry. But for me, it was kind of the same thing. I'm not working on cars anymore. I'm working on houses.
Yes.
But it's the same skill set. I'm using my hands. I'm using knowledge. I'm learning. I'm improving. Yeah. I'm fixing.
Right.
If people see that. Engineers, of course, love stuff like that.
Yes.
Now, if you want to be an engineer, you need to go get that degree.
You do.
But trust me when I tell you there's a lot of engineers that work with guys like me. I do not have a degree. Yes, you can make quite a bit of money in trade, especially if you're driven. And for those that are thinking about skipping college, that would be a very good direction to go. It's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. I would encourage people, based on my experience, don't get a degree that's easy. In fact, all of my kids, my advice to them was find something that's hard and take that training. I actually went to school for something easy, and it was worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew it was worth nothing. On the other hand, I've got an accountant and a nurse in the house, and I've got a PhD in some kind of biological things that I don't even understand. And she's going to graduate, and this is a great thing.
I do the hiring for our company.
Yeah.
So every employee that is hired for Triangle, I'm normally the one doing the interview for that.
Yes.
I have a lot of kids that come in with college degrees that are applying to work with us because we pay very well.
Yeah.
We pay well because the guys on my staff are very skilled.
Yes.
And I am getting a lot of guys with college degrees, women with college degrees that are in fields that have nothing to do with residential construction.
Yeah.
And are telling me they're striking out, finding jobs in their fields, and they're having to try to go elsewhere. And I'd love to hire everybody, but I'm looking for people with a lot of experience that know how to work with their hands. And although your degree in marketing is awesome, I don't need someone with a degree in marketing. I need somebody who can build an infrastructure for a home.
Right.
So just follow what you love, follow what you think about all the time, and you should be happy.
They say, do what you love, and you'll never work a day in your life. Actually, that's so false because you're doing what you love.
I do, yeah.
But
I work a lot.
It's work. it's work. And sometimes you're underneath the house and then somebody says, hey, I know you're just under my house, but you think you could crawl up to the attic and see what it's like up there?
Happens a lot.
Happens a lot.
While you're here. Can you look at that?
We're at it is the most expensive words in home construction.
It can be.
Yeah. While we're at it, we're going to go ahead and look at this. So you do the crawl spaces, you do the attic insulation. You'll also, when I say insulation, people think of
fiberglass.
Fiberglass. Yeah. They think of the rolled batted insulation.
Sure, we do that too.
You do that too. You also do other things.
Spray foam, radiant barrier, fiberglass, attic cat, rock wall, foam board, open and close cell spray foam. I mean, yeah. If it can be insulated, we can insulate it.
There was a fellow who called up while you were not here, and I hope I didn't lead him astray.
Uh-oh.
But I told him to look for more information, but he asked about spray foaming his attic.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sir, make sure you're using the right spray foam.
Mm-hmm.
There's two types.
Mm-hmm.
You want the type that is permeable.
Correct.
Am I correct?
In the attic? Yes.
In the attic,
yes. You are. You want the non-permeable foam in a crawl space.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. You're picking up pretty quick. It's seven years in?
Even, right. You know, I could work for your company. It would still take the just that long for me to understand the whole system. All right. How do we get in touch with you?
You guys can reach out to us at triangleradiantbarrier.com.
Triangleradiantbarrier.com. We're back next week with another exciting program, maybe even shocking program, on Making Your Home Great on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680.